Thank you for confusing sports this morning, Emma. I do really love hockey, and if you ever want to watch hockey with me, I'd love it. We're building hockey culture up here in Seattle, so it's amazing to see. Anyways, I want to thank you for being here this morning. Thank the College of Ministry for giving me the opportunity to speak in front of you today, to exercise the gift of God upon me and the call that I felt on my life to preach and to share the word of God with people. To thank Micah, Megan, Campus Ministries for letting students be here on the stage and sharing with you guys. And my coach, Professor Lisa Rusi, for helping me formulate what I was saying, communicating what I was saying well, so thank you. And thank you to you guys for listening to me, for receiving the word of God and listening to what me and my fellow peers have to say from the study that we've done. We're in the series of James, like Emma mentioned, and it's an awesome opportunity to walk through this epistle that really talks about what good Christian living is like. It is an incredible book that is a personal favorite of mine. It was actually this book that helped transform my life and my walk with Christ and really show me what true Christian living is like. It was my freshman year in high school that I had a mentor walk me through the book of James and show me that this book has the words of life in it. It communicates good Christian living that transformed my life. It's a new way of looking at life, observing life, and walking with God that's refreshing, renewing, not just condemning, not condemning at all, really. And so this morning, I want to invite you into that. I want to invite you into this good life that James is talking about, the good life that we can walk in daily, something that is adventurous, something that is incredible, fulfilling, a true taste of reality. Father God, I pray that you would open our ears and our hearts this morning. Help me speak your words to your people and let you reveal what you're trying to say through this passage in James. Thank you that we get to hear your word and put it into action. In your name, amen. So we're going to be in James 1, 22 through 25, and I'll read it now through the NIV translation. It says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and, forgetting after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." Well, if we're to be good biblical scholars, we need to understand the context of a verse that we're reading from. James is an epistle writing to the 12 tribes that are scattered around being persecuted in the first century. James is actually what a lot of scholars would say is the first letter written in the New Testament, the first book of the New Testament. And so these people are fresh off of hearing what Jesus has said, with the knowledge on top of that of the law, the Old Testament, the prophets. And so James is writing to a specific people in a specific place at a specific time. So we have to understand what it meant for them so we can understand what it means for us. And one thing that James is doing for the church through this letter is encouraging them to stay committed to Christ even through persecution. Because Hellenization, which is the Greek influence within the Roman world, has taken such a stronghold, James is encouraging the church to stay committed to what Jesus had said, what they know from the Old Testament, and continue in it, not forgetting what they've heard and what they do through what they've heard. James is also taking on a very pastoral role in this situation. He's caring for the church. He's reminding them what Scripture says and why it is so important. James is the half-brother of Jesus, so it would be very similar to what Jesus said in Luke 11:28, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." He wants the church to remember to do what God and Jesus and God through the word in the Old Testament has said. And there's another aspect that it's tying into here is talking about holiness and being set apart. Because the Roman world was so dominant in this time and Jesus came into this context, he's connecting it way back into the Old Testament where the people of God were this set apart people that were different from the world. they were chosen to be holy, to be different from the cultures around them so they can bless other nations. And so James is building not only on the law and the word, which he talks about. So he says, if looking into the law, looking and hearing the word, but on top of Jesus's new ethic, the law that he is bringing in, fulfilling through his coming, James is like, hey, listen to this. It is important that we do not forget what we're hearing and putting it into action. And so James, he's encouraging. He's wanting the church to become confident in what they've heard and what they know. And so what does that mean for us? How do we apply this letter written in the early first century and apply it to our lives today? Well, it's good to start with talking about what listening or hearing is and how if we're just listening to the words of God, it's incomplete. Verses 22 through 24 talk about we're listening to the word but deceiving ourselves if we only hear the word of God. There's so much more to understanding Christian life and discipleship under Jesus than just knowing what the Bible says, knowing good theology, hearing people up here on the stage, hearing good worship music. There's so much more. And James actually goes on and continues talking about what true religion is in the next couple of verses. So I ask you, please come back a week from today when Maddie talks about true religion, because it connects directly into this and it's going to be awesome. So please come back. But hearing alone is not enough. And James actually furthers this concept with the mirror imagery. So back behind me on the screen, you'll actually see a picture of what a first century mirror would have looked like. I know this does not look like a mirror whatsoever. It's really old. It's from the first century. But basically, this is a copper plate that was pounded out into a circle and polished. It was either copper or bronze and polished so that it would give a vague reflection. Today, when we think of a mirror, we think of glass panes that we have in our bathrooms and our dorm rooms. They give a really good image of what we look like. We can see fine details. We can see all the different complexities of our facial structure, our hair. But in the first century, they really didn't have this luxury. Only actual high-class people had the ability to have one of these mirrors. And so people often didn't see what they looked like. And when they did, they could only see kind of vague shapes or shades of what they looked like to use if they had dirt on their face or a mark that they could easily remove. And so in this way, James is calling out the people that are looking into the law, hearing the law, and actively choosing not to do something about it. It's like they're seeing themselves in the mirror with soot on their face or dirt on their face and seeing that it's messy and then walking away, not doing anything about it. Actively choosing not to respond to the word of God. That good life I mentioned at the beginning starts with listening to God's word and then acting upon it. It is truly how we follow God and his rule. Paul in Romans would agree with this. In chapter 2, verses 12 through 13, it says, all who sin apart from the law will also perish apart from the law. And all who sin under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but those who obey the law who will be declared righteous. And I will note here that some theologians and some a bit of a lay opinion is that James and Paul are pitted against each other in this weird theological debate that we often hear Paul talk about. It's faith alone that saves us by grace. And then we'll hear in James, and especially in chapter 2, it's I'm showing you my faith by my works. And I think it's a confusion to say that they're at odds. They're very much in agreeance. Paul understands that it's listening to the law and obeying it. James 2 would not say that, oh, it's works alone, but we need to hear the words of God before we put it into practice. And so what does that look like? Looking at verse 25 again, it says, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law, the word of God, that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. We get to walk in the freedom of the law, the Bible, the words of Christ, but if we are only listening, we are missing out. And so of these two actions, the listening and the doing, I want to emphasize two things. And first, it's the gift of listening to the word of God. It is such an incredible opportunity that we have the word of God in front of us all over the place. We have the written text that we have easy access to. We have apps on our phones that we can instantly pull up any verse, search any topic. We are saturated and have the opportunity to be encountering the words of God every day. And not everyone in the world, or even in the past centuries, had this opportunity. We have an incredible resource and the gifts of life near us all the time. Jesus even called this out in Matthew 13 when he talks about the parable of the sower. He is telling the disciples this parable and some other people, and the disciples ask, why are you talking in stories? And Jesus says, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they will have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. And Jesus goes on here to quote Isaiah and some other passages talking about how there are people who hear but don't understand. There are people who see but don't perceive. And finishes with this, but blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but did not see it, and hear what you hear, but did not hear it. We are blessed because we get to hear the word of God. The Spirit of God has revealed the way of life to us, and that is an incredible gift. So please, don't ever take for granted the fact that we get to listen to God's word, both reading it and hearing it and understanding it and even learning about it in our classes. It's an incredible opportunity that we cannot afford to miss out on. But that second part, there's the hearing and the doing. After we recognize that it is a gift to listen to God and what is written, we must act upon it. Some of you may know that the Winter Olympics are going on right now. I am a huge fan of the games, both summer and winter, but particularly the winter games because it has two of my favorite sports. The first, like mentioned in the beginning, ice hockey. I love ice hockey. The women actually play tonight in their semifinal game against Finland. You should watch it. Go to the gold medal match, hopefully. And the men are about to start their medal rounds, too. It's going to be awesome. They're killing the game right now. The other sport I love, which is debatable to some but shouldn't be, is curling. Yes, it's funny, but curling is awesome. If you ever want to watch curling with me, I'd love it. It's a great sport. Anyways, these athletes train so hard to do what they do. They spend 4 years between games and often a lifetime before that practicing their sport. They have the best coaches. They go to the best training facilities. They watch detailed videos of themselves so they can fine-tune their skills, hone their abilities, so that they know what to do when that big medal match comes. They are the best, not only in their country, but in the world. They get to compete in front of everyone to show that they have trained hard enough, worked hard enough, studied hard enough to be able to be at the Olympics. So imagine an athlete in their craft, at their prime. They go, they pack up all of their things, say goodbye to their family, get on the plane with the team, they go to the country, get to the venue, they're ready, they put on all their gear, they've warmed up, stretched, the event is about to start, but instead of heading to the starting area, they just go to the sidelines. They're all geared up, but they don't participate in their sport. You'd wonder, what are you doing? Like, you're ready. You've trained for all of this. You were there. You're at the Olympics. You're going for gold. What is all that training for? Wasn't it boring if you're just gonna sit on the sidelines? You weren't doing it for anything. You were just training for nothing. In the same way, if you feel that your walk with God is boring, you were never meant to sit on the sidelines. We have been empowered to walk in the giftings informed by God's word and the guidings of the Spirit. We were all gifted to be in the game, to participate, to put into action what we have heard. And two, I want to dispel a little myth about missions here, because often it's conflated in the church, and not by anyone's fault, but just general opinion. Often when we hear the word missions or missionary, we think of someone who is called to go to other nations, other countries, and preach the word of God. And while that's a great beginning definition, it's incomplete. just like hearing without doing is incomplete, this is an incomplete understanding of missions. If we are listening to the law, the word of God, the leadings of the Spirit, the words of wise and godly friends and mentors, and if we are putting them into action and doing what we have heard and putting into practice what we are reading, we are missionaries. Every aspect of your life is an outpouring of the work of God inside of you, whether you are a teacher, a mechanic, a business person, a psychologist, a coach, anything you have been gifted to walk into. Every aspect of your life is an outpouring of the work of God inside you. It is when we let the overflow of our study and listening to God's word spill into our everyday life, we begin to physically manifest and remember what we have heard through our actions. We listen, then we act. We return to the word and we listen again to the Spirit's guidance and we act again. It's all a missional response to the words and the Spirit of the living God. And I do, of course, have to mention here, because we're talking about hearing and doing, that I am not talking about a works-based faith. There's nothing we can do to earn the salvation and the giftings that God has given us. God has said that we have been given this gift graciously. So please take that. Take a hold of it. All we need to do is respond in faith and then take our next steps, because the word of God elicits a response in us. Take a deep breath. You have found favor in his eyes and are worthy of following him. And so, how do we do this? How do we listen and do what God has said in his word? It'd probably be a good place to start and reflect on what we need to develop. Are we a good listener? How are you at listening to God right now? Perhaps are you listening to something else? Is something else speaking into your life? Are you in God's word? Are you making space to listen for his voice? It can be hard, but it's so worth it. And practically, I'm a very practical person. You could try and replace some time. Maybe if you have a few minutes in between a class, or just the first thing in the morning, or maybe instead of right when you go to bed, instead of scrolling through your phone one last time, put on a worship song or a worship instrumental, read a couple of verses, or have the Bible app read some scripture to you, and make space to listen to God and what he's doing and what he's speaking into your life. And as we move into doing, acting upon what we have heard, we can seek out the Spirit and see what he's gifted each of us in different ways. Isn't it incredible that God has so diversely gifted us? That's what the world needs. It needs all of us, because we've all been gifted in a different way. We're not all the same. And so think, reflect, seek out God in what you've been gifted in, so you can serve not only within maybe your friend group, maybe your community here at NU or back home, or your church. They're all places we can pour out our giftings that God has given us. This is the good life James is trying to communicate to his readers. It is the good life for you, for your life and how you walk with God, but not only for you, but for your neighbor and the whole world. You're bringing people along with you to transform the world around us. Like the Olympic athlete that trains so hard only to not compete, I pray we do not miss this opportunity to step into the abundance that God has set before us. And hear me, James, God is not calling us in this moment to shame, or to guilt, or to religiosity, or works-based faith. No, God is calling us to participate, to play. It is an adventuresome, wonderful, brilliant life that we have in front of us with Christ, where we get to hear and be informed by the living God and then act in a way that our spirit is joyous and responding in this world, transforming people and environment and creation around us. It is an amazing thing that isn't just sitting in church or doing a class in the Bible. It's an active and lively and amazing thing. We get to play in the boundaries of the perfect law that gives us freedom that comes from hearing and doing. Let us walk into this good life with our good Father and put to practice the good gifts he has given us so that may we transform the world around us as we listen and do what God has said.